Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Esprit.net News.
I want to get the language right tonight.
This is America. My president is back.
Never let anybody tell you that your efforts don't matter.
This is not a war zone. These are unarmed people.
Politicians and commentators.
Don't let anybody take your man.
Does that remind you that I've done this before?
It doesn't make you tough to hurt these people.
You have tuned into Independent Thought Radio, where we cover world and national news with current affairs. Some good, some bad, but it's all the news you need to know. I'm your host, Jerome Esprit, bringing you straight talk outside the headlines. So sit back and relax, call in, or hit us up in chat. Now, as long as you're ready, we're ready. Welcome again to Esprit.net News. I'm your host, Jerome. On this program, President Obama says he's cautiously optimistic about Trump's presidency. Bobby Christina Brown's boyfriend, Nick Gordon, is ordered to pay $36 million in damages for her wrongful death. And a cop turned himself in to police after being charged with the shooting of Philando Castro and his death that was in front of his girlfriend broadcast live on Facebook. We have that this weekend in court and much more. So I want to welcome you again onto the program. You're listening to Esprit.net News. This is our weekly news wrap-up show. If you want to join us, dial 909-265-9189. For those who are on the line, I just want to say hey and thanks for joining us. And hit 1 on your line if you'd like to join in at any time. And those in the chat, I want to say welcome. If you're listening in the archives, we're here live, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, every Thursday. So you can always tune in. Now, before I get started, I know this is our first broadcast since the election, and I just want to say that just like everyone else in the world being shocked, I have 1,000 stories and a lot of commentary, but I'm not going to do that on this particular program unless you call in or if you send us an email at news@soulofsyracuse.com, and we'll give you some opinion, but we're going to have some stories about it, so there you go. Now, our first story, the North Pole is 36 degrees hotter than normal as figures reveal that the Earth is on track for the warmest year on record. Temperatures in the Arctic climbed to a staggering heights this fall, with some areas reaching more than 36 degrees Fahrenheit above normal as polar night bears down on the region. All right, now a fast-moving object was spotted by the International Space Station moments before its live stream went dead. This is what conspiracy theorists are claiming, that NASA is covering up proof of a UFO again. Now, in footage from the International Space Station, ISS channels, the International Space Station's channel, uploaded to YouTube by a user called Code Pyro, a white speck can be seen emerging across the darkness just above the Earth's horizon, and right before the UFO travels out of view, the feed cuts to a gray screen, followed by the statement asking users to please stand by due to technical issues. All right, so if you want to go check that out, it's on YouTube. J.P. Morgan Chase is to pay $264 million after hiring friends and relatives of Chinese officials to gain access to banking deals. Now, the famed financial firm agreed to pay this huge sum to settle charges that it hired friends of relatives of Chinese officials in order to gain access to deals in their country. So along with the other stuff, J.P. Morgan Chase is going to pay another $264 million. Now, Denver becomes the first city in the U.S. to allow marijuana in bars and restaurants. Now, Denver has approved in the first-in-the-nation law allowing people to use marijuana in bars, restaurants, and other public spaces such as art galleries or yoga studios. So we're going to see how this plays out. I'm kind of trying to figure out how this works, being that smoking is kind of frowned upon generally. But, hey, the law is now. You can smoke marijuana. Maybe not cigarettes, but you can smoke. You know, I had a lot of comments on that about public general health, but I'm not going to go there. All right, now, the first report from a U.S. Surgeon General on substance abuse said that 1 in 7 Americans will face substance abuse in their lifetimes. That's more people currently addicted to drugs, alcohol and drugs, than have cancer. They're estimating 21 million Americans are addicted to drugs and alcohol. All right. Now, and antibiotic-resistant infections almost have doubled in U.S. children in just 10 years, is what new research have revealed. Over the last decade, scientists have seen their rate of drug resistance almost double in samples of life-threatening, I guess it's pseudomonas, that's bacteria collected from children in pediatric wards. So it is something to look out for, but they're just saying that it has doubled. And by the way, that's going to be, I guess it's pseudomonas aeruginosa bacteria. Okay, you can check the spelling on it all you want to. I don't know what it is. All right, now a Minnesota prosecutor said Wednesday that the police officer who fatally shot Philando Castle in July has been charged with manslaughter and dangerous discharge of a firearm. He did turn himself in this week. After that announcement on Wednesday, he did turn himself in. I think it was today. So the officer is now in custody from the Facebook, if you remember the Facebook live feed, where the policeman shot him through an open window while he was talking to him. The officer has turned himself in. Iconic actress Cicely Tyson and National Basketball Association's all-time leading scorer and ardent social justice advocate Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, actor Robert De Niro are among 21 people who will be honored with the Presidential Medal of Freedom, the White House has said this week. The nation's highest civil honor is a tribute to the idea that all of us, no matter where we come from, have the opportunity to change the country for the better, said the president in this announcement. Now, from scientists to philanthropists and public servants to activists, athletes, and artists, these 22 individuals have helped push America forward, inspiring millions of people around the world along the way, said President Barack Obama. Now, the list, loaded with entertainers and celebrities like culture icon Diana Ross, who's known for, gosh, more than a half century career in music, film, television, theater, and fashion, also includes comedian Ellen DeGeneres, actor Tom Hanks, Robert Redford, and NBA star Michael Jordan, the creator of Saturday Night Live, Lorne Michaels, sports broadcaster Vince Scully, philanthropist Bill and Melinda Gates, and other honorees that include Frank Gillery and artist Maya Lin, who designed the Vietnam Veterans Memorial in D.C., the late Eloise Cobell, who's a Blackfoot tribe community leader and activist for Native American self-determination and financial independence. She'll receive her award posthumously as well as Grace Hopper, known as the first lady of software for her coding innovations. Now, if you don't know who Grace Hopper is, as a programmer, I do, and also as a COBOL programmer, I know. She's the computer programmer who helped develop the compiler that was the precursor to the widely used COBOL programming language. She was an admiral in the U.S. Navy when she did it, and a mathematician, and she created that. So COBOL is created by Grace Hopper, the compiler, to make that work. Now, I want to say this for you guys who don't know what COBOL is. I know I'm a little, I was a young COBOL programmer, and they don't really use COBOL too much, but all of your operating systems on the Internet, basically, that software that's running, it's running on COBOL. So if you want to know how important she is, none of your systems would be working if it wasn't for Grace Hopper. So she's also winning her Presidential Medal of Freedom Award. All right, I want to remind you, you're listening to Esprinet News. You can call in and join us at 909-265-9189. And, you know, ask any questions, just call in and listen, or send your comments to news at Soul of Syracuse, and we may bring them on to the program. President Barack Obama has talked about the importance of respecting the choice of the people only days after the election of Donald Trump and said the future will be okay. Now, he told an audience in Greece because he is took a few, you know, this week has traveled to a few countries, and an audience in Greece in their capital of Athens laughed when the president said that people should be free to choose their own leaders, even if the candidate doesn't always win. But he thinks making a serious point and added, progress follows a winding path, sometimes forward, sometimes back, but as long as we retain our faith in democracy, our faith in people, then our future will be okay. Now, he admitted he and the president-elect couldn't be more different, but he assured Americans he would work on in the incoming weeks to ensure a smooth handover of power. He added, that's how democracy has to work. History doesn't move in a straight line. And he quoted Dr. Martin Luther King when he said, the arc of the moral universe is long, but it's bent towards justice. He also said that progress is never guaranteed. Progress has to be earned by every generation, but I believe history gives us hope. And at one point, the president said, we must make clear that government exists to serve the interest of citizens and not the other way around. So he told his successor, what may work in generating enthusiasm or passion during elections may be different than what will work in terms of unifying the country. So the president did make a statement on it, and again, I didn't cover this particular election too closely, but, you know, the president has spoken on it. The First Lady also said that we are Americans first. She revealed her thoughts about the new president, telling the youth of America to never lose hope. The First Lady shared her thoughts during an event for military families, the last of her Joining Forces initiative at the White House on Monday, where she gave out a lot of youth program awards. But, again, the First Lady, we are American first. That was her message. Now, one of the things that came out of the 2016 elections, I want to say I saw the story, thought it was a great story to talk about, and it is that 94%, well, actually, before I go to that story, I want to say this, because this is the one I want to read first. 9 black women were elected to become judges in the majority Democratic Jefferson County in Alabama. This story is a great story. It was by the Birmingham Times that reported it. The black women who came out on top in the district and circuit courts were all Democrats. Javon Patton, Deborah Bennett Winston, Shira Craig Grant, Nakia Nikki Perryman Blockton, Tamara Harris Johnson, Elizabeth French, Agnes Chapel, Bernadette Brown Green, Annetta Verin are to be sworn in January. This after the elections, you know, it was a big night for women of color across that state, not just in local politics, but in federal positions as well. So three women of color, by the way, won on the federal side and the Senate side. Now, Catherine Cortese Masto, Tammy Duckworth, and Camilla Harris were elected to the Senate. Stephanie Murphy and Pramila Jepal were also elected to the House. Now, next year, there will be 38 women of color serving in Congress, bringing us a little bit closer to having some type of representation in Congress. So I wanted to make sure I did those stories before I did the next story. So wanted to put that out there. 94% of black women voters broke for Hillary Clinton compared to only 4% for Donald Trump. Now, support for Clinton was just 2 points less than the overwhelming 96% of black female support for President Obama. By the way, 80% of males backed Hillary Clinton. Black males did. Now, President Obama received his 96% both in 2008 and 2012. As far as black men is concerned, some of them weren't feeling the notion of the first female president. I'm not saying that that's a reason. That's just how it's paraphrased. 13% voted for Trump. And a decisive 53% of white women placed their vote in Trump. And 29% of Asians. I want to say this just for the record. I know that I've been having these conversations lately, but that's where the polling was wrong, because white females at 55% or so said they were voting for Hillary, and then they particularly changed their mind and voted for Donald Trump. So if you want to go back and take a good look at what happened in the election, that is the number that you need to look at. That's where the numbers were off, that women, white females, instead of voting for Hillary, what they said they were, according to the surveys, and they ended up voting for Trump. And by the way, you know, I saw this news story, and I want to say thanks to Kamish for sending me this story, but it is actually a story from calling out all women who voted for Trump. Now, this story comes from, let me see if I can describe her. It's titled Dear White Women. Now, it's written from the Reverend Dr. Karen Carlo. She's a retired New York City police captain turned pastor. She's a minister and theologian, and she teaches at a theological seminary. Now, her letter kind of starts off, and this is posted on her blog, but it's called Dear White Women, Things We Do in Secret. And she says, "Sisters, it's time we talk. We just elected someone to be our president whose racism is so obvious that the KKK is now marching in celebration. The polls said that he would not win, but he did. The polls said white women in particular voted against him. We did not. That means a bunch of us lied and said that we were voting for him, but once we were alone in the booth, we didn't. We did. So we voted for an admitted sex assailant over another white woman who could have been our first female president, and many of us did it in secret." He said, "Why? I hear all kinds of explanations. Hillary is bad, emails the economy, the Dems don't listen, and so on and so forth. But I could argue against each one, but I won't, because deep down inside, I don't think any of those reasons are real." She said, "If they were, we wouldn't have done this in secret. When we do things in secret, we do things in secret when we want to present one face to the world and another to our community and even to ourselves. we hide ourselves under racism. We hide our racism under white sheets, social masks, coded language, and voting booths. We are so good at hiding our racism that we even hide it from ourselves. She goes on to say that we say we are electing a KKK-endorsed candidate despite all the hateful things that he says about people of color, not because of it. We use the language of greatness and unity without considering who it is that will pay the price for it, even when faced with the not-PC candidate who tells it like it is, meaning that he is overt in his own racism. We still pretend he didn't just say that. He didn't just say what he did. Now, she said that we still find a way to vote for a racist without making it seem like we are racist ourselves, often believing we really aren't. Sometimes we do it by playing the language that makes it possible to be racist without being called racist or even thinking to ourselves privately that we might be racist. Others just lie. She said, well, guess what? As a white woman, I'm calling this out. We just did something really, some really racist, S-H-I-T. Racist, racist, racist. And yes, I just cursed. She said, why do I think this happened? My best explanation that I can come up with is the way so many of us have been socialized to think about black men dating back to the era of mass lynchings and probably sooner, as we were told that black men were predators wanting to rape us and our virtue and womanhood need protecting. She said that I remember when I first became a police officer, a white man wanted to get me off the job by trying to scare me by pointing out the dangers of the job. They almost always use the language of, what are you going to do when confronted by a big black man? She said that when men are trying to get us to cooperate with patriarchal, by setting up a boogeyman, it's never white assailants. It's this mythological big black man that keeps us in line, obedient to the nice white man who perpetuated in order to maintain dominance. We don't like patriarchal dominance. That's why many of us identify as feminists. But even when we are feminists fighting, we still don't fight the racism that lies within ourselves or our movement. She said, from the beginning, white American feminism has been racist. The first wave of feminism, the suffrage movement, Seneca Falls, etc., explicitly rejected black women when it was apparent that the right to vote would either come first to black men or to white women. The white suffragettes were quickly to betray their black sisters. Check out the history of Elizabeth Cady Stanton and Susan B. Anthony as it relates to their treatment to Harriet Tubman and Sojourner Truth. That is the side of our movement we don't like to talk about or look at, but desperately need to, because we never overcame it. We white females are still in the business of betraying our black sisters. We will even turn on other white women if they get too close to black people, particularly black men. This is what I believe just happened to Hillary Clinton. She aligned herself with President Obama and paid the price for it. According to the exit polls, black women were more than willing to support a white woman for president. They turned up in great numbers to do so, but they were the only ones who did. We white women made a different choice. In secret, we took our souls to the polls and lost them. We have to do better than that, starting now. That was the Reverend Dr. Karen Carlo. Just wanted to make sure I did the whole thing in its entirety. That was her commentary and her words about what just happened in this year's presidential cycle. And so since I couldn't do it any justice, I didn't want to do commentary tonight. I really wanted to read that as her commentary. You're listening to Esprit Net News on Esprit Radio. You can call in and join us at area code 909-265-9189 to join us. If you have any questions or comments, you know, you can always send it to news@soulofsyracuse.com, and we'll get back to you with some kind of response. Now, civil rights activist Jesse Jackson has urged President Barack Obama to pardon Hillary Clinton and help heal the country. Now, he was speaking at an anti-racism rally at the University of Michigan when he made that comment. I don't know how far that's going to go, but Jesse Jackson said that Hillary Clinton should be pardoned. All right. Since we didn't get a chance to talk about Saturday Night Live last time, iconic comedian Dave Chappelle delivered a scathing monologue in his return to television, but closed it by saying that he's willing to give Donald Trump a chance. He said, "You know, I didn't know Donald Trump was going to win. I did suspect it." Dave Chappelle said when he started his segment that, "I know the whites, you guys aren't as full of surprises as you used to be, but America done it. We've finally elected an internet troll as president." And then he said, "I'm wishing Donald Trump luck, and I'm going to give him a chance. And we, the historically disenfranchised, demand that you give us a chance too." So he did end it on a high note. But if you get a chance, go check it out on the internet, on YouTube. Saturday Night Live with Dave Chappelle. Featured musical guest, A Tribe Called Quest. Hilarious, and actually it was a really good show. Although I don't like, you know, Saturday Night Live too much anymore, he did a great job. So, Dave Chappelle. All right, now the National Intelligence Director, James Clapper, resigned this week amidst the Trump transition in his 50-year career. Now, Clapper is planning to leave, was planning to leave, when President Obama left office, but he gave his notice Wednesday. Now, he signed a letter, but is finishing out his term, is what a spokesman for the agency said. So there are a lot of people who are now starting to leave the Obama administration in anticipation for the new president. Okay, and they're not appointed positions, by the way. So here we go. Now, Shoes.com, a Canadian online shoe store, became the first retailer to announce that it was dropping Ivanka Trump's shoe line last week, followed by Grab Your Wallet campaign, where Shannon Coulter kicked off a boycott on October 11th, a reference to Trump's now-famous Grab Them by the Crotch remark from audio tape, and numerous allegations of sexual assault by the president-elect. Since then, she has been joined by a growing number of a growing group of women who are boycotting Ivana's clothing lines, jewelries, her perfumes, and accessories over her support for her father. Now, they have also called for the stores that carry the brand, such as Nordstrom's, Bloomberg's, and Macy's, to stop selling the line. Now, the retailers who refuse to dump the brand has also joined the list of boycotted companies, and it seems the boycott is beginning to take hold. So this is just something else that's going on in the world of Trump at the moment. Now, a NATO chief warns that the West could face its greatest challenges to our security in generations if Trump abandons the military alliance favor for partnering with Russia. There are all sorts of reports out that, in one of the UK papers, reported that Russia did have contact with the Trump campaign during the campaign. We don't know how true this is, but it was reported by in the Daily Mail, so take that for what it's worth. But it's going to be interesting to see how long Donald Trump makes it without those national security problems, and seeing how fit he is for president, because, you know, I can see the impeachment trials going on by March, but it's probably going to happen. I'm not putting that out there. I'm just saying. Now, Twitter suspends accounts linked to the alt-right or the white nationalist, white separatist movements and crack down on some of the online abuse of hateful conduct. Twitter suspended several accounts belonging to the prominent members of the alt-right, like Richard Spence. The same day, it announced a new measure to combat online abuse. So this, my friend, is an interesting story, but we'll have to see how this goes. But I guess Twitter is cutting back or counting down because for some reason, or not for some reason, but since Trump won, this is a big win for pretty much white supremacists have been jumping for joy. So they've been going a little crazy online. Now, Britain is to deploy batteries of high precision long-range missiles on Russia's border for the first time since the Cold War. Now, the long-range rockets will move to Estonia amidst fears that President Vladimir Putin could be planning to invade their country. The 15-nation force will include soldiers from the U.S., France, and Denmark, so they're preparing for something. Just wanted to say that. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau used a speech in Cuba to warn Donald Trump to bring concrete policies to the table during the negotiations between the countries. Now, Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau has used and addressed in Cuba into, you know, sticking to serious policies discussions during the negotiations between the two countries, knowing that while we have now opened relationships with Cuba, they still are pretty fragile, and Donald Trump making any kind of demands may shut the door back on Cuba. I want to say this for the record, President Obama, if you're listening, if you can get a message to him, I want you to pardon Asada Shakur, Momia Abu Jamal, and while you're at it, pardon Marcus Garvey, and there's quite a few others that you can. So that would take Asada Shakur off the table for Cuba negotiations. Help us out. Give him a pardon. Give her a pardon on your way out. Just wanted to put that out there. Now, Reebok is offering free sneakers to New Balance owners, trashing their shoes after the company voiced support for Trump and has been hailed by white separatist websites. Now, New Balance shoe owners began throwing away their sneakers or lighting them on fire last week to protest after the company reportedly voiced support for Donald Trump. Now, it was a vice president of the company who did it. So apparently, you know, white separatists and racists are saying that that's the new shoe that represents white folks. And so New Balance has not come out to deny that. And one of the vice presidents supported those statements. That's why Reebok is now offering free sneakers. So if you got New Balance, take a quick selfie of them and contact Reebok. They're giving away free sneakers. Now, a racist and sexist man has become president of our country is what a San Francisco teacher said. Now, San Francisco's teachers union has offered a special Trump lesson plan. The lesson plan was written by a social studies teacher who said that she had planned it for she didn't plan for it to spread citywide, and that was a step taken by San Francisco's teachers union and not her. But she created the lesson plan, and she said, hey, be careful. This guy is crazy. So we'll see how this kind of shakes itself out, but we'll just kind of keep an eye on it. Now, Russia pulls out of the International Criminal Court because it is not independent and not lived up to the hopes it's associated with it. So Vladimir Putin has signed an order to pull out the world's first permanent war crimes court, saying that it's one-sided and inefficient. So here we go. Russia is making moves to pull away from the international community. Donald Trump said that the United States will. This is just going to be interesting. Democratic Senator Barbara Boxer has introduced a bill to end the Electoral College after Clinton leads popular votes, in popular votes, but loses the White House. Now, the Democratic senator is to introduce a bill to abolish the Electoral College after Hillary Clinton lost the presidency, but continues to have an advantage over Donald Trump in the popular vote. So what is going on is that this bill apparently is trying to get some states to pass legislation to say that their electoral votes would go to whomever received the popular vote. Now, all they need apparently is 270 electoral votes. That means states that add up to 270 to agree. 12 states have already agreed, and they passed legislation like that before. But if they can get enough, that means they won't have to get a constitutional amendment to get rid of the Electoral College, because whoever gets 270 already wins anyway. So there you go. There's the legislation, and we'll see how this is going to work out. But if those states, if more states join in, the popular vote will determine who our president is, not the Electoral College votes. It will kind of override it, because you would automatically have them go to whoever wins the popular vote. All right. Now, the company building the pipeline has asked the federal judge to dismiss or ask the federal judge permissions to circumvent President Obama's administration and move ahead with the disputed section of the project in North Dakota, as opponents held protests across the country against the pipeline. Now, Dallas-based Energy Transfer Partners and a subsidiary is asking the court to let them lay an oil pipe under the Missouri River Reservoir, a plan that the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe says threatens their drinking water and cultural sites. Now, the Army Corps of Engineers halted work on Monday, saying that it needs more time to study the impact of the plan. This leads to another interesting situation, because the president-elect has investments in the oil company that's trying to build that pipeline. So we'll see how he gets to recuse himself from this. But I don't think it's going to happen. And I think we are looking at some turmoil as far as unprecedented conflict of interest with the president. We've never seen this before, but this could possibly get pretty ugly. More than 400 people are killed by smog as a lethal blanket of pollution smothers in the Iranian capital, Tehran. Now, schools have been shut while millions have been forced to wear masks or retreat indoors after choking levels of pollution descended on the capital. I know how we normally talk about, I guess that global warming is a joke and all of that other stuff, but people in other countries, we know China has smog problems. Now, Iran has that. Now, researchers reveal how chemicals combine to form an acidic haze killed 12,000 people in 1952. Researchers have pinpointed the chemical process that combined with a natural fog that resulted in from coal burning, eventually creating a deadly acid haze that turned the sky completely dark in Britain and killed 12,000 people. So here we go. Fog, smog, and pollution. So here we go with a energy plan of letting them burn clean coal again, apparently. All right, now the effects of alcohol vary based on a person's size and weight, metabolism rate, related food intake, and the type of amount of beverage consumed. Police are trying to figure out a way to use a breathalyzer for marijuana, because that does not work with marijuana. Now, why breathalyzers do not work on marijuana users, scientists are struggling to find out, and they're trying to find an alternative. So there's nothing that you can do when you get pulled over and a policeman fakes a I'm going to give you this breathalyzer, and you test positive for marijuana. There is no such test. And apparently it's driving scientists wild. All right. Now, Prince is, you know, the world's greatest entertainer ever. I'm sorry, the world's greatest artist and musician ever. The late artist Prince, his record label has filed a lawsuit against Jay-Z over the use of Prince's music on the streaming service Tidal. Now, nearly every song Prince has ever recorded is currently available on Jay-Z's streaming service. Now, the suit against Jay-Z's Roc Nation and Tidal says that the company was never given permission to stream all of Prince's music and only allowed the streaming the last album. However, before Prince's death, an agreement between MPG Records, which represents the Prince's music, and Jay-Z's Roc Nation agreed that Tidal could stream one album. MPG claims this was never authorized, but Roc Nation says that it has an oral and written permission, although it has not produced the material in court. That's according to Rolling Stones. Now, the back end of the story says that 2 days prior to this lawsuit being filed, Jay-Z's record company, Roc Nation, tried to purchase for $40 million Prince's unreleased music, and the record company turned him down. They said that they didn't want Prince's music to be exploited. So here's what I say. They're going to give it to somebody else to exploit it. But Prince actually talked to Jay-Z and apparently liked Tidal, but the record company does not want them to have it, or the trustees don't want them to have it, although Prince's sister talked to Jay-Z, and they said, the record company said, that she wasn't authorized to be able to make that deal. So here we go. The record company is suing Jay-Z for Prince's music because they don't want him to have that catalog. Maybe Prince told them what he wanted to do with his music. Maybe in their agreement, his sister still kept some control over Prince's music. But we're watching the smearing of Roc Nation and Jay-Z just so that someone can steal Prince's music. And I'd say the people who are running MPG music. That is just my observation. Don't know. They allegedly is doing that. All right, now a woman mauled by a bear in Maryland survived by dropping to the fetal position and calling 911. Karen Osborne, 63, had gone outside to investigate why her dog was barking, and this happened Wednesday night when a bear attacked her in Middletown in Maryland. So check this out. If your dog is barking, let your dog bark. I'm just joking. All right, so you can't fight off a bear. But ironically, the bear let her call 911. Just wanted to do a little good news in there. Now, two U.S. officials say that the engineer of the commuter train that slammed into the New Jersey station at double the 10-mile-an-hour speed limit, killing a woman, suffered from an undiagnosed sleep apnea. There you have it. I just wanted to make sure I did that story. This is the New Jersey chain that slammed into the station. All right, a Monet painting is sold at auction for $81.4 million to an anonymous bidder in the new world record for the artist. His work, after a 14-minute bidding war happened. Now, the 1891 work titled Moulet went under the hammer at Christie's in New York as a part of the auction for the Impressionist and Modern Art. So $81.4 million for a Monet from 1891. Now, okay, I could have made you one that was more modern. I could do it like tomorrow, and I can sell it to you for half that, just in case you're listening. Now, soon you could like a photo with a smile. Facebook buys a facial recognition firm to compete with Snapchat. So Facebook says this company, Facial Matrix, which is a spin out of Carnegie Mellon's University in Pennsylvania, is to bring more fun effects to users' photos and videos. So get this, if you have a camera, facial recognition looks like it's going to be on the table. So you can like it by smiling at something that's going to mean that you like it. I don't know what laughing at is going to do, but that is just a new feature that it could have. We're not sure. It said it could have. All right. Now, U.S. Army funded research finds structural connections can identify us with the perfect accuracy. Now, this is brain structures. Every person's brain has its own unique fingerprint, according to this new study led by Carnegie Mellon University. Researchers use a diffusion MRI to map the brain's structural connections, and they said that everyone has a different brain, like a fingerprint. So, interesting enough, you might not want to go through X-rays. They may be taking pictures of your brain. I'm just joking. No paranoia. Just wanted to put that out there. All right, you're listening to Esprit Net News on Esprit Radio. You can call in and join us. Area code 909-265-9189. I want to say hey to everyone who is out there listening to the show today. And if you want to come in, just hit one. You know, I try not to bring you on if you don't hit one on your dial. So just wanted to make sure we're being a little conscious. I'm not freezing you out, but if you want to come in, just hit one on your line, and that will bring you in. And if not, cool, we have plenty of news left on this program. Now, unlike most countries, the United States does not regulate drug prices, meaning firms can push up cost of their products as far as they like. Now, policymakers blame this for the drug addiction crisis. Now, people in Congress is saying that because we don't regulate drugs is why we have a prescription drug issue in this country, because it moves drugs underground if they're too high and people look for alternatives. I think that may be true, but who knows what Congress will ever do to stop that from happening. They just wanted to put that out there, I guess. Now, a former teacher at a $9,000 a year Louisiana private school pled guilty to giving students marijuana-laced brownies to make them happy. Now, Camilla Brennan, 31, of Maddiesville, has pled guilty to giving brownies laced with marijuana to two of her students at Archbishop Hannah's High School in Louisiana, where she used to teach. I think she got fired. All right. Now, a married female basketball coach had sex with three high school students and then sent them naked pictures. Nicole Armand, 45, was arrested in Port Bar, Louisiana, last week at a local high school where she taught girls basketball, and she was the PE teacher. She had sex with students. Now, another teacher, this is my teacher news segment apparently, another teacher, 24, who was pregnant with a 13-year-old student's baby before having an abortion, pled guilty as a part of a plea deal to avoid being jailed for life. Now, Alexandria Vera, who's 24, a Houston teacher who got pregnant after sleeping with a 13-year-old student, has pled guilty to sexual assault as a part of her deal to avoid being jailed for life. Now, they didn't say what her options were, but she is taking life off of the table. Now, married substitute teacher's aide, 42, had sexual contact, including oral, with two male high school students and made her husband drive one of them home after the tryst. Now, Sherry Malford, who's 42, was arrested in Chester County, Pennsylvania, this week and charged with several sex crimes. Not just one, but several. Now, Michael Hammond Jr., 33, of Florida, has been charged with sexual cyber harassment after allegedly posting a naked photo of his ex-girlfriend on Facebook and then threatening to load more. He is now in jail. Now, a convicted sex offender, 46, indicted for kidnapping a 6-year-old girl from her driveway and chaining her to a tree in the woods. Douglas Edwards, 46, was indicted in North Carolina court on Tuesday in connection to that abduction that happened on September 14th. So just in case you remember the big manhunt and the girl tied to the tree, he was indicted. So we'll have to see how that goes and how the trial looks from there. Now, vitamin D could be used to treat pneumonia. This is a new study. Now, high doses reduce lung infections by 40%, according to researchers from the University of Colorado. They say the findings could help reduce one of the leading causes of the debilitation and death amongst patients in nursing homes. So there you have it. Vitamin D is good for you. That's what they're saying. Now, a black University of Pennsylvania freshman trolled by a racist text were targeted at the university from targeted by a University of Oklahoma student who was offered a Penn acceptance but decided not to go. Don't get the story at all, but the University of Pennsylvania says that the former University of Oklahoma student is behind the racist text messages sent to a black Penn freshman over the weekend saying that, you know, he didn't deserve to be there, affirmative action, blah, 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 blah. But he was literally trolling a black student for no good reason. But now he's going to go to jail. All right. Now, the appalling video taken inside an eighth grade classroom in Baltimore showed a white female teacher calling her mostly black students stupid and idiots who are destined to get shot. Now, Baltimore City Public School spokesman said in a statement that the science teacher at the Harlem Park Elementary Middle School was fired after the video was posted on Facebook by a parent of one of the students on Wednesday. The video has been viewed online more than a million times and had sparked shock and outrage from the foul language used by the staffer. At the end of the video, the teacher is heard saying, "You have the chance to get an education, but you want to be a punk, a N-word, who is going to get shot. You're stupid." This is the white teacher from the Baltimore City Public School. They wouldn't release her name, by the way, because if they did, I would tell you. Just wanted to put that out there. Now, California voters have narrowly approved a statewide ban on single-use plastic carryout bags. Proposition 67 was placed on the ballot by plastic bag industry supporters who tried to overturn a ban approved by state legislatures, a state legislature two years ago. More than 150 California communities already have local plastic bag bans in place, and the passage of Prop 67 extended the ban to the remainder of the state. The law took effect immediately. So they tried to put the measure on the ballot to get rid of it, and it actually help spread it throughout the state. Good job for the plastic bag industry supporters. You lost. Now, the FBI ran 23 child pornography sites in a bid to lure and catch online predators. Stunning unsealed and unsealed documents were revealed. The FBI operated almost two dozen child pornography websites hidden on the dark web to lure and catch predators, is what the newly unsealed court documents revealed. Now, before I go any farther, I want to tell you, we haven't done this in a while, so here is some court news that we have for you. I usually do this week in court, but since I missed the week before, we'll have to do some of those news stories as well. These are some stories that are going on in court. Now, following California's Election Day approval of the proposition to keep the death penalty in speed executions, the ACLU is now suing the state, claiming that the Proposition 66 gives unelected officials unbridled discretion over execution. So they're in court. Federal prosecutors want Nevada ranchers Clive Bundy and the 16 co-defendants to be tried in separate groups based upon their roles in the April 2014 armed standoff with federal authorities. I know everybody thought those guys were let off the hook, but no, federal prosecutors is still prosecuting the ranchers who took over the federal installation in Nevada. Now, a California state judge said Wednesday that he's likely to throw out pimping charges against the trio of Page.com executives arrested last month in a joint investigation between Texas and California. So apparently at this website, they were doing some transactions that they shouldn't have, but a California state judge said that he's likely to throw it out. Not sure if he's going to throw it out, but likely to throw out pimping charges. I didn't know pimping was against the law. I don't know what the statute or the term would be. Now, two Florida marketing firms must pay $14.3 million for selling customers' information to payday lenders that scam $43 million from millions of victims, is what a federal judge has ruled. The Fed has canceled energy leases on Blackfoot tribal lands. Now, after more than 30 years, Devon Energy will get a refund on money paid for oil and gas leases in Montana following the federal government's decision on Wednesday to cancel their leases. So there is a win in one oil case in this country. I just want to remind you of that. You know, on that note, before I break out of here, let's bring in the commiss. How are you, Kathleen?
Hey,
I didn't see you. I'm good. I'm sorry. I was bogged down in the courthouse news, so I didn't see your pop up on my on the screen. How are you? You're doing good?
I'm doing good, thank you. But every day gets a little better.
There you go. There you go. And you have to do that. You came in at a really bad time because this news story, you can skip it, commenting on this one if you want to, but I just want to say this really quickly. Okay. It's called The Microbes in Manhattan. Now, an ATM study finds that New York keypads contain everything from spoiled food to parasites that cause STDs. Now, they swabbed samples from 8 neighborhoods across Manhattan, Queens, and Brooklyn and have revealed disturbing new insights on unseen inhabitants on ATM keypads, including skin microbes, traces of food, and potentially disease-causing parasites. I'm sorry you had to come in before I actually did that story. My bad. Don't want to make anybody paranoid, but technically, if you can use the touchscreen, use those. The keypads may have a bit more germs on them. Just wanted to say, if your ATM options are limited, do what you got to do. All right. So, Kathleen.
Yeah.
Sorry to bring you in on that.
I do walk with a box of gloves in my car. Cause I do. Because I don't I will not touch the gas pump handle. So I always have a glove. Summer, winter, spring, fall. So I usually,
I said that's understandable.
Yeah, so I usually just, you know, all summer long or whatever, I just have a pair of gloves in my car, like regular gloves that you don't dispose of. But when I thought about that, I was like, well, that's not really helpful because then you just bring all the germs back into the car with you for the next time. So I now carry rubber gloves in my car to pump gas. So what I'll do is bring the rubber gloves now into the ATM when I have to use it.
Okay, see, there you go. See, unlike me who used like the back of my knuckles to press ATM things, I really don't do that to them at all. Nips. I can wash my knuckles later, but I will use that to tap on anything as far as ATMs are concerned. Now, in India, a wedding ends in tragedy as one woman is killed and 4 people are injured by rogue bullets. Now, as, you know, celebrating guests fire guns into the air, I guess they didn't figure that the bullets would come down. If you fire a bullet straight in air, it's coming straight back down, you nuts. But anyway, I just want to say that for anybody firing a gun. Now, the celebratory gunfire during a wedding ceremony in India went horribly wrong when one of the guests was killed and four was injured, including an 11-year-old girl. Do not shoot guns in the air. It's never
no.
cute. That's a public service announcement.
That's a very L.A. thing, though, because that they do that every New Year's Eve. They get to shooting guns straight in the air.
Yeah.
I think they do it on, yeah. So,
they do that in a lot of communities.
That's ridiculous. I don't get it.
Yeah, that is ridiculous. That is very ridiculous. And, you know, I have to tell you, early on, I read the full letter. I don't know if you were here when I did that, but I read the full letter from the Reverend Dr. Karen Carlo.
Did you? I missed it.
Yes.
Was that a great letter?
Instead of me doing a commentary, you know, okay, so here's what happened. That, we know, like in earlier in the news show, we talked about the 94% of black women who actually voted for Hillary Clinton, although, you know, she lost. And it was just
right.
kind of made the point that she made that other women did their job, but white females did not vote for Clinton, although they said that they were, which made the polls off. So if 53% of white women voted for Donald Trump, but in the polling it said like 55% of white women were supporting Hillary Clinton, which means there was a dang near 10-point swing, and that's why she lost. So don't let anybody else paraphrase any Make America Great stuff. It is white women who flipped on this particular election.
Hmm. And that's because white men didn't flip, because they just straight up said, look, this is my dude.
That's their thing. Yeah. Yeah, they weren't gonna flip. That was their default.
Wow.
I'm just saying. That's what had happened.
Yeah, she's catching a lot of flack on her blog too, from a lot of people about it. But of course, she knew she would, and we would know she would.
Right.
Mhm.
But
yeah,
it's just interesting. Again, I read the whole thing, by the way. So just so that I didn't have to do commentary about it, I just figured I'm not doing commentary about the election. But I let her letter be the commentary.
That was awesome. Great job.
Hey, you know, she did a great job. So I figured, you know, the part that I liked the most, well, I shouldn't say that I liked the most. I like the fact that she pointed out that during the women's suffrage, for all the black women who are feminists, it always throws me with them because, and I know I'm treading on thin ice with you on this as a feminist. I'm not sure if you're one, but I'm just saying. It always throws me because Susan B. Anthony, Elizabeth Cady Stanton, what is her name? There's a couple other, you know, because that's in this area is where their houses are. But they really did shun the Harriet Tubmans and the other people of Sojourner Truth and other women of color during that time. They really did not want them there after black women helped support them till they got to a point and they said it's pretty much about white women. They did that,
right.
And that history is really not looked at. So
right.
I'm glad she brought that up.
Yeah, me too. That's what I loved about seminary, I'll tell you, because this is what we were exposed to. The only educational institution that I've ever attended that addressed injustice, oppression, the oppression of black people and by Christians, and by it was a heck of an eye opener and very refreshing. So kudos to Dr. Carlo.
Yeah, it really was something that I think is a lesson. Although it's a message to white women, I think black women need to read that. I think
that needs to
go viral for black women.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I agree. And you know what's so funny about it? Well, you saw my note to her when I wrote to her that somebody, a friend of mine, a black guy, sent that to me. And I read it.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. Yeah, and I read it, and he has no idea. I think he knows I went to seminary, but I'm not sure. But he definitely would never know that I know Dr. Carlo. So when I read it, I didn't know that it was her. I had to Google, and I was like, who wrote this? So I Googled it, and her name popped up. I said, Karen Carlo. Well, who else would write this? You know?
Right.
I wrote her right away. She wrote me right back, and she said, you know, thank you. She's so grateful that I appreciated
mm-hmm.
the encouragement or whatever. So I've been tweeting and posting it and sending it around because I do think it's a must read.
Oh, that's cool. That was cool that she responded. And hey, maybe we'll have her on the program one day.
Yeah, I'm going to email her tonight and ask her if she'll be on.
Okay, that'll be cool. That'll be cool. All right, you know, so, I didn't want to throw any other bad news stories. That was such a good story, I didn't want to throw anything bad in there. I have one more story to end the program on, though. And I don't know how I want to do this. I'm trying to get my my breathing right for this one. But a high school student in China has allegedly tried to sell her virginity in an attempt to earn enough money for her brother's cancer treatment. Now, she's 19 years old. She's on the subway train holding up a sign, and she needs 200,000 yen, which is $25,000. And she said the treatment will cost more than $25,000, and her family can't afford it. And which kind-hearted person can save my brother is what she said. She even claims to have a hospital-issued certificate proving it. Now, here's the thing. I don't know who has $25,000 riding the train. Now, I don't know how congested that part of China is, wherever she lives, but
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't think that selling your So I hope somebody would just give her the money and not to that child. I just want to say that for the record.
I hope so too.
Don't find any kind of amusement in that at all. But
I don't either.
But for her, I have to say that some desperate times, desperate measures, I hope somebody – I wish I had the money just to go out here because – technically, hopefully somebody else kind enough will do that for her. All right.
Yeah, because if it's a kind heart, good heart, they won't want to take advantage of that, you know.
Yeah,
so.
they will just give her the money, yeah. Right, because that just shows that she is really desperate. And so that's all I'm saying. It's like when people do acts like that, they're showing how desperate they are. They're not actually... You don't really want to take them up on that because there could be no pleasure in that at all. So just don't look at it for the sake of that, of taking advantage of somebody. You got to be a sick puppy to do that anyway. All right. Now, since this is our first show after election, I didn't give you a chance to, I did go through a bunch of stories as far as numbers and stuff are concerned. But, you know, before I ask, I want to ask you, did you see Dave Chappelle on Saturday Night Live?
And Chris Rock.
And Chris Rock, yes. Okay.
It was classic.
It was classic.
It was classic. Just classic. I will never erase it. It was
exactly.
Especially
I have
one
it
that
as well. I was gonna say I have it as well, and it is never getting erased. This is the best Saturday Night Live I think that they've done since the Sarah Palin skit. That's how far I'd have to go back.
I know.
And they haven't done a whole show that good in a long time.
Ever. I just can't say ever since Eddie Murphy left. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, you're right about that. Because I did see a lot of comments about people saying, I have never sat through a whole Saturday Night Live that was continuously, like, entertaining. And that was.
And it was. It just was really great. And I, you know, it was funny because while I was watching it, I was like, well, wait a minute. Did the writers go on hiatus and they just let Dave Chappelle and Chris Rock take over? Or, you know, like, did they, you know, like, something happened, something went wrong.
I almost think that they did. You know, and the reason I say that is because even as I was watching it with some friends, I kept saying, is Dave Chappelle actually smoking on stage? And they said, yes. I think Dave Chappelle's deal was he get to do whatever the heck he want to do, and he is really doing it.
I really do.
I know that one stage. Yep, because they don't let you smoke on TV no more.
I know. It's hilarious. And it didn't look like it was an electric cigarette either.
No, it wasn't. It was an actual cigarette. It was an old school cigarette. And he had it pretty much in every other skit. Like, he still was smoking. So, big shout out to Dave Chappelle. And the only thing I was waiting for, I saw he killed off one of his characters from his Chappelle show. But I was waiting for Wayne Brady to come on and go black actors and do that whole skit. I thought he would bring back some more people, but that's just me. That was just me, you know, wishful thinking on my end. But I just want to say that had to be the most entertaining Saturday Night Live since Eddie Murphy, probably.
I did want to throw in there that now the next, I don't know if it was, I don't know when they filmed it, but on Tuesday night, I guess? Yeah, Tuesday night, I watched that BET event, I think I mentioned to you, and Dave Chappelle was right up front in the audience at the BET, and the president acknowledged him, too.
And so did you see he mentioned that on Saturday Night Live?
Huh?
Dave Chappelle mentioned that on Saturday Night Live.
Okay, yeah. Because
remember that he said there was one. He said it was all these black people and Bradley Cooper. Remember he kept saying that.
That's right. He did say that. Yes, I do remember he said that, and that's what I said. I was like, "One white guy."
Yeah, he said all these black people and Bradley Cooper. I don't know what's up with that, but Bradley Cooper was there.
He was there.
So yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah,
it was a great show.
I didn't see it, but I'm sure we'll get a chance to see it on the reruns on BET because that's going to play forever.
Everybody who's
I know who've seen it told me how good of a show that was on BET. So I'll have to.
Yeah,
we're going to kind of go check that out.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't know. Yeah. We'll definitely make that. All right, Kathleen, since we're not going to yell about Trump today, but I guess we'll have plenty of days to yell about that mess. And, you know, Hillary Clinton actually came out today for some event.
The Children's Defense Fund.
Yeah. Now, I'm not mean-spirited or anything, but that has to be a tough way to lose. To
it's
win the popular vote.
Yeah. She said it.
Yeah.
She said it was real hard to come out.
Hey, it was hard for us to come out. not because she lost, but because of who won. Like, that's
exactly
hard for all of us, Hillary.
Exactly.
Join the club. So yeah. And also I did do the story with Barbara Boxer and her putting up legislation to get around the Electoral College. Hope that works out.
Great. Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe
so we'll talk about that.
That. Okay.
Yeah, we'll definitely talk about that next week. All right, so
Okay. Thanks
for joining in and hanging out. We'll talk about more politics and everything else in the news next week.
All right,
see you later.
Oh, and my new book is out, Delayed But Not Denied.
Wait a minute. We have to pull back on this one. Hold on. Let's bring the music down for this. The book is out. And I almost forgot. I'm glad you stopped me on this one. It is called, what is it called?
Delayed But Not Denied. And it's a collaboration, many authors, and I am one of them. And we all wrote our stories of triumph, you know, and overcoming. And it's really good.
Okay. And it's now on Amazon. You can pick it up.
Yeah.
Cool.
The Kindle version is $9.99. The actual hard copies will be available somewhere around the November.
Okay.
Oh, that's now, huh? Next week.
It'll
be available next week.
Around the end of next week?
The end of next week.
Okay. Cool. All right. So, you know, go out and purchase it. What's the name of the book?
Delayed But Not Denied. It's stories of triumph and overcoming. The collaborator, the person who did the organization was Toni Coleman Brown. And, you know, she'll be joining us on Stir It Up next week. Yeah.
All right. So join us back with on Stir It Up. And that's a long name for a book title for me to remember right offhand. But I'm sure Kathleen will have it for you.
Yes, I will.
All right,
Delayed But Not Denied.
Delayed But Not Denied. I can remember that.
Yeah.
It's just the other part I was gonna lose. All right, so we'll talk about it again next week and go purchase your copy on Kindle, and by the end of next week get your hard copy and tell a friend.
Thanks, Ro.
Hey, anytime. We'll see you again next week.
All righty. Good night.
All righty. All right. Good night. All right, thanks for tuning in. We will see you again next week.